Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I was sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Seconds in, and he's throat clearing. That's okay. We're good. Guesting today, Charles Arbuckle, break number one. He'll be with us. That's every Tuesday. Top of hour two, Gator Dave checks in with us. And a little later, hour three, Griff. That is Mike Griffith with the AJC's Dog Nation. He will be in with us a little later. Hour number three, 615-844-5600. That is the F&M Bank hotline. If you want to get to us on social media, and don't forget, Commitmas is 2 weeks from Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, this next Wednesday, Thursday, tomorrow, and the next day, Commitmas is 2 weeks from them at the lovely Palatial. Gorgeous. Omni Nashville Hotel. Can't wait for that event. Can't wait to see you folks at that event. You're all invited. Everybody is invited. Anybody you know is also invited. No formality there. No tickets or whatever. Just be there. Just show up. Social media, Twitter for now, at Bill is King. And if you do want to email the show, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Facebook, which, as you probably know, I don't do very much with it. I go in and out on it a little bit. I'm not a big fan of Facebook either. But Bill King, Bill is King, or the Bill King Show are various ways you can hook up with me on Facebook. What's going on this Tuesday? I got a tweet this morning. This is kind of ironic. Top water assassin over in South Carolina this morning. And he's a big Clemson fan. I don't know if you saw the news, but Hunter Johnson, who was a five-star quarterback recruit and actually originally committed to Notre Dame, but switched it and signed with Clemson and never really got any traction at Clemson at quarterback, five-star now, transferred to Northwestern. That didn't really go well either as a player. Has transferred back to Clemson. Is that a new one in the Pegon Gateway? He is transferred back to Clemson. Now, he's not going to be the quarterback there. They have DJ Uiagalelei, who had a so-so year. But again, he's the quarterback. And they have Cade Klubnik coming in, five-star. And some have him ranked the number one quarterback in the class of 2022. He's out of Austin, Texas, Westlake. So they've got a busy quarterback room, too. I assume Hunter Johnson's just coming back for depth and comfort, etc. I would assume this is not about him coming back because he thinks he can take the quarterback job. I mean, I could be wrong. But just to be there and be a comforting veteran in the quarterback room. Now, how many quarterbacks want to do that? I don't know, because most of them obviously want to be the guy, and I don't blame them. I mean, that's what they're used to being the guy. Let me be the QB. Let me have the number one position in all of sports. That's quarterback. There's not a more important position in sports and glorified position in sports than quarterback. If you're Johnny five-star quarterback and you're used to playing 99.9999999 forever percent, you are doing this because, A, you've been good at it, and B, you want to be the guy. Nothing wrong with that at all. And in this case, I don't think that's what Hunter Johnson's doing. You don't transfer back to Clemson because you think you're about to get that job. I wouldn't think. Now, I could be reading this incorrectly. I've not talked to Hunter Johnson about this, but it is interesting because we've spent a lot of time on the He Gone Gateway and players, where they're going, where they're coming, where they're ending up, all that. And I don't know if we have an example of somebody who's transferred around and then ended up back. I could be missing somebody here. But he's from, Hunter Johnson's from Indiana, right? I think he's an Indiana kid. Anyways, Cade Klubnik, who's looked really good, looked good in that All-Star game, too. I didn't watch much of it, but a little bit. But he's a quarterback that probably will do a good job when it's his turn at Clemson. I'm guessing. I like that kid. Like that kid a lot. I've had a lot of people send me this. Also, it is a cover of the Vanderbilt. Bill, it's Tuesday in January, mid-January, and you're bringing up Vanderbilt. I know. Apologies, but there is a point here. There is a point. It's the cover of the Vanderbilt 1983 media guide. That's right. And on the front of the media guide is Manuel Young, who was a defensive back, played him in high school. From Columbia, the mule capital of the world, Manuel Young. By the way, you folks who live in the mule capital, does Manuel Young, did he move back there? I think somebody told me he did. He was a heck of a player back in the day. I think he played quarterback, but at Vanderbilt, he was a DB. He's a good player. Steve Bearden is also on the front cover. Now, he was a defensive end. I think he was from the Birmingham area. Reba McEntire from Country Music is on the front, and George McEntire is on the front. Is it Reba? They're not. Obviously, they're not related on the front cover. 1983 media guide for Vanderbilt. Now, back then, in the fall of 83, I was there a lot. I saw several of their home football games, not because I was searching out good football, but I had a girlfriend there. So I was there a lot. And I don't remember all the games. The games are all crappy. And remember now, Vanderbilt's coming off the 1982 season, which was a really good year for them. I think they went 8-4. And there was some expectations because of that in 83, and it's Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt won't maintain. You know that. But it's kind of ironic because I spent a lot of time there in the fall of 83 and saw a bunch of really crappy football, to say the least. Yeah, I saw some just yucky football there. And a lot of people, Super 70s Sports, which is a pretty funny Twitter account, somehow saw this and put this up, this picture. I've had others put this up too, but it does bring back memories of some really bad football on West End Avenue. Now, in 84, the next season, they actually beat Alabama. They beat Ray Perkins. And a friend of mine, Kurt Page, was the quarterback on that Vanderbilt team. And they actually started the season really good, and then they tanked. But 84 was a little bit better season, even though they tanked down the stretch. But 83 is a vivid one because, again, I was on that campus a lot. Let me just put it that way. Coach's hot seat even said, Bill, 83, not so good, but 84, they actually went to Bryant Denny and beat Ray Perkins in his second year. I do. I recall that. I vividly recall that happening. Walter, big Nebraska fan. Hey, Bill. Which team is going to come up with the most money to land Caleb Williams? I just assume he's going to Southern Cal. If that's incorrect, I guess we will find out. But that's my assumption. Josh up in London, Ohio. Bill, it's, now he's on Eastern time and I'm on Central time, but his time, he says it's 7:12. It's actually 7:15 now, but when he tweeted it, Bill, it's 7:12 in the morning, and TTUN still blows. They also, Bill, love having affairs. That is all I have to say. TTUN, if you do not know your acronyms, I always have to repeat this, that team up north is what he means. So, Josh, checking in early, the Michigan-Ohio State disdain, the Alabama-Auburn disdain sustains every day of the year. I don't know of two other rivalries or any other rivalries other than those two. We're talking college sports now. That, again, sustains every day. It doesn't matter whether it's the playing portion or the non-playing portion. Now, you may bring up your rivalry, whatever team you pull for, and that's fine. But it doesn't sustain like these two. It's not an obsession like these two. It's just not. It might be a really good rivalry. John down in Alabama. Bill, was Watson Brown the coach? No. Watson had left and was either at Cincinnati or Rice. Which one did he take first? I can't remember. Then he came back later in the 80s. No. George McIntyre, the late George McIntyre, was the coach. One of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. Incredible. Anyways, we'll get the break. Bucks coming up out of the break number one. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It was a little bit slow earlier in Rutherford County on 24 eastbound at Joby Jackson. It's actually moving a little bit better. Watch your speed this morning, I-40, coming in through Hickman County into Dixon County. Traffic's on the increase out here through Mount Juliet, pretty much on schedule, I-40, especially coming westbound. PensacolaBeach.com has everything you need to plan out your next beach trip. Check it out at PensacolaBeach.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of a city that's back in business. The sound of Nashville coming back to life. But if we fail to act, it may again all come to a stop. 90% of all COVID-related hospitalizations are non-vaccinated people. Keep each other safe. Keep Nashville open. Get vaccinated.
We prevent engine problems by changing the oil in our car. But when it comes to our hearts, we often wait until there's a problem. Why wait for problems when you can be preventative? Soltea is a patented tea extract that can help reduce cholesterol and help maintain heart health. I have friends who have been taking Soltea for years and the results have been remarkable. And they owe it to Soltea. Don't wait for a problem. Come to soltea.com/radio and start taking care of your heart today with a special 25% discount exclusively at soltea.com/radio.
Award-winning Davidson Reserve Whiskey is the truest expression of what originally inspired Pennington Distilling Company, based in Nashville, to open a distillery in 2011. It's a reflection of Tennessee heritage that connects Tennessee to a long and storied history of distilling alcohol. Each expression is mashed, distilled, aged, and bottled right on site. Davidson Reserve takes pride in our craft, and we are honored to share it with you. Pick up a bottle of one of our award-winning Davidson Reserve whiskeys from your local retailer today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey is one of the world's first chances to experience and taste a small batch craft Tennessee whiskey. Taste this locally distilled, aged, and bottled spirit today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
A true legend, Billy White Shoes Johnson, painted your shoes white on a dare and it just stuck?
Yeah, it did. It makes you feel a lot better than wearing them old black shoes. And it was just a matter of fun.
Tell him, Billy, look good, feel good, play good, right?
All the time.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
When it comes to the college football playoff, he's for exclusion, not inclusion. It's Bill King.
Our Buckle joins us every Tuesday to talk some football. College football playing portion of the season is done. Of course, we don't acknowledge off seasons because there is no off season. There's a playing portion and a non-playing portion. NFL playoffs are in full swing, though. I try to watch them. I can't attach to them because it doesn't interest me that much, but Buck, what are you seeing? Teach me something, because I'll be the student, you be the teacher. What's going on in the playoffs right now? What are you seeing?
Well, you see the level of intensity raised just last night. You know, the champs heard how finessed. And all you have to do is get into the playoffs and win a few games, and then you're to the Super Bowl. And I think the Rams finally helped Matt Stafford and OBJ, for that matter, really show some good playoff moxie. You know, I think the biggest thing is with the playoffs, to me, is I always look at just the little things that come up that can create big, big problems. You know, the officials missing, you know, blowing the whistle, even though the whistle was after the play, they're not going to work any more games because you have to just be so focused. I think that's the part for the playoffs in football, the level of focus that you have to have on every single play. Just think about Dak Prescott. Yeah, I know what McCarthy was saying, but everybody that knows clock management, there's a couple of things you have to do. You can't use time when you have no timeouts. So your time is your best friend, and it can be your worst enemy. The other thing, Dak has to hand the football to the official. You know, that's the one thing that's different in college and pro. When you get a first down, and I know most everybody knows it, but when it's in that kind of situation, it has to be practiced almost to the minute detail. I go for maybe 5 or 6, maybe 7 yards instead of 15. As soon as I get up, I hand the ball to the official so he can spot it. That saves me 3, 4, maybe 5 seconds, depending on how much time they can do that. Because you just get in a situation where you're going to run out of time. That was a glaring mistake by the Cowboys, along with the 14 penalties. But again, it's just, if you beat yourself, it'll show up in the playoffs, and I think we saw that. The Bengals haven't won a game, you know, haven't won a Super Bowl game in 31 years. I thought that was good for them and their program. You can see with a difference, Joe Burrow, and you know, just a few additions can make in that instance. So I think it just teaches you. I always tell people is watch the college guys that you love watching when they were in college, and you'll have a good time. The playoffs is exciting. First weekend was outstanding.
Does Joe Burrow's play, and we all know he's good, but in year two as an NFL quarterback, and we've seen so many quarterbacks bust, is his excellence surprising to you?
Not surprising. It's surprising how fast it's come. You know, I thought he'd be really good, right? And I thought it would come at some point, but I did not think it would be this quick. I think that's the part that surprised me. I also knew Ja'Marr Chase was going to be an outstanding player, but I think even my expectations of him have been just because of some of the things that he was struggling with when he came out. But part of it was the rust that he had for sitting out a whole year, right? First couple of weeks, I think, in practice was just a struggle for him because the game, he wasn't able to catch up to the game, and then he did. It's just shown the level of play. You know, and I think the other thing with the Bengals, they have been much maligned because their offensive line hasn't been good. I think Joe Burrow helped the offensive line. They still have some work to do there. And I think Joe Mixon, the combination of Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine has really paid dividends for them along with Chris Evans this year. And I think their defense, you know, Sam Hubbard, you know, we always talk about the Bosa kids, especially the ones out of Ohio State, but Sam Hubbard I don't think ever got his due. And I think you're starting to see how good of a player he is along with some of the other defensive players they have on that front seven, but also their back end. You know, I've been impressed with Cincinnati over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I really started watching them and how they play defensively, but their offense is so explosive, man. In the way, you know, Burrow is finding open guys, Uzama, from Auburn, I think the tight end has really stepped up and played well down the stretch also.
Tom in Myrtle Beach, ask Buck, Bill, is there any team in the Pac-12 that can compete for a national championship this coming season? He says it seems like they are so far behind the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it right now. You know, I don't. Oregon was a team that everybody kind of slated, but Oregon now with the new coaching staff, I don't know. I really don't see it this year, unless there's some things that happen in the transfer portal for a team like USC. Which, if Caleb Williams comes on board, they've got the other receiver out of Oklahoma. But to me, it really has to happen up front. You know, how they're going to build on that offensive and defensive line. So I would say no. Right now, I don't see anybody competing on paper. Until I get closer to the year and we see what the transfer portal kind of shapes.
Buck, we were just talking, Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday, about interesting transfer portal. Hunter Johnson started his career at Clemson. He was a 5-star quarterback recruit and just didn't work out at Clemson to where he could maintain the job. And, of course, they recruit other big-name quarterbacks as well there. He ends up transferring to Northwestern and gets his chance there. Not overly impressive, to say the least. And it was just announced he's transferring back to Clemson. So, Buck, I guess my question is, I don't know if I've seen a guy transfer back before. And I would assume, Buck, he doesn't think he's going to come in there and take that job. They've got the kid out of Austin Westlake, a 5-star, coming in, and then DJ still there. What's going on as far as you know with Hunter Johnson?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Hunter never really seemed to get comfortable when he was at Clemson before.
Right.
And he actually regressed when he went to Northwestern. My only thought is maybe he's going to Clemson to graduate, get it from there. That's all I can really think. And,
yeah.
And you know, in some schools, I think, too, let's think about it. You know, we saw the stuff situation, he ends up coming back. I don't think he maybe feels that's going to happen, but I'm sure Dabo is told him, hey, look, you know, we thought highly of you. I don't think there ever was a we don't like Hunter Johnson at Clemson. I never felt that. The coaching staff always talked highly of him. He just wasn't able to make the plays when he got his opportunity. So maybe they told him, hey, look, you get a degree from here. Maybe he's setting himself up for coaching. I don't know. I just think sometimes if you kind of get to a point in your career where you just feel like you can't maybe make it on the field, you have to start thinking about post-game, as you finish. And for him, you know, he started at Clemson, and he really was well thought of there. Maybe they're bringing him back so he can get his degree from Clemson.
Josh up in London, Ohio. Ask Buck. Wow, this question. I don't know if he's kidding or not. Ask Buck who wins their division first, Tennessee in the SEC East or Ole Miss in the SEC West. And, Buck, that means you got to out-recruit Georgia and Alabama to do that.
Yeah, he's not asking a fair question at all. Oh, my goodness, because Kirby's recruiting like crazy. And Nick, maybe because Ole Miss is just a little bit ahead and they have an old Wile E. Coyote kind of guy. And Lane is actually at Ole Miss. Yeah, and so maybe that's why I would say Ole Miss has a little bit of an advantage, but neither one of them. I'll give the edge to Ole Miss just because of Lane Kiffin. How's that?
Charles Arbuckle joins us every two. Yeah, I don't know if Josh has gotten into the crown apple this morning or what he's doing with that question. But
that was a hell of a question, but it was one almost you got to say, you know, sometimes you to, that was a pretty I got to give it to him.
You're over there in Charlotte, and you see Clemson a lot. You see all those teams a lot, Buck. Clemson went 10-3, and we're all kind of sitting here thinking, okay, it wasn't a really good season, but they actually played pretty well down the stretch. And do you think that this was just a little bleep on the radar, or are they kind of heading backwards a little bit?
You know, Bill, that's an interesting question because – you know, now that Georgia has started to play at such a high level, they've always recruited at that level. I think, you know, when you see the proximity from Clemson to Georgia, you can tell, you know, Clemson is always, in my mind, as I've been here and watched them play in the ACC, but they have a SEC feel in the way they recruit and the way they get after it on the recruiting trail and the way they develop players. I think the biggest thing for them is, you know, how are they going to get those explosive players like they had before and offensive and defensive line, you know, consistently over the course of the time when they were battling Alabama for national championships. You know, we thought of the team that the number two or number one every year. They had players that could make plays and get them to that next level. I don't know if we see that as consistently as we did the past few years. And I think that's the part that's going to be interesting to watch. Can Dabo's, you know, get back to recruiting the Christian Wilkins kind of kids? Can he get back to recruiting, you know, the T. Higgins or the DeAndre Hopkins, you know, on the outside? Can you get the explosive running back kids like you had before? I mean, Will Shipley, I think, is going to be a really good player. But early on, he was hampered by a lack of an offensive line that could block for him, and then he was – you know, injured earlier in the year. When he showed that he could play, I think he was in a different spot. Leroy Etienne was just such a special talent that can he match up to that? You know, those are the things that you kind of look at now that Clemson has put themselves, they're battling now against their own success. I would have to say, though, they've lost, you know, two really key coaches on offense and defense, and that's going to be a telltale sign if they can keep this going, because they have intervals for a long time. Offensively, they kind of had co-offensive coordinators, and they adjusted and adapted. But now losing both of them at the same time, I'm wondering how that's going to affect them, and will it have any ill effect? Dabo's been able to keep guys internally, but he's also been able to bring other people from the outside that have helped them. So I think that's going to be the critical piece. How are these new coordinators going to play into them getting better and playing at the high level that they were able to in the past?
Buck, we'll let you run, but are you the last couple of weeks getting the snow that we've been getting in the 615?
Yeah, we got a little bit of that ice. I don't think we got as bad as you guys did, but it affected us.
Wow.
So, you know, just a couple of days where you had to be locked in the house a little bit and didn't lose power. That was the biggest thing.
That's true. All right. Buck, we'll see you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
There he is. Charles Arbuckle joins us every Tuesday. Gator Dave, top of the hour. Griff later, hour three. Julia down in Atlanta. Bill, Hunter Johnson transferred back to Clemson. He said Dabo told him he wanted an experienced quarterback in the room since the kid knew the system, etc. I mean, that makes sense. And we kind of speculated on that. I didn't see the same quote you saw. I didn't see the article, but I don't think Hunter Johnson's transferring back there because he thinks he's about to go get the quarterback job at the place where he couldn't get the quarterback job, if that makes sense. Yeah, I think he's one of the rare quarterbacks that's going somewhere to just be part of it. And if there are injuries, and heaven forbid, obviously, but if there are injuries and it gets to him, then so be it. But I would think that's his plan without knowing everything. Plain Kiffin. Bill, so let me get this straight. Back in 83, Blondie was making you watch Vandy football. The same Blondie that took down Bobby P and Urban. Wow, Bill. Pure evil, Bill. Sorry about the throat clearing here, y'all. The voice is fine. Isn't it funny? I was trying to say the voice is fine, and right when I got to fine, the voice cracked up. The voice said, no, Bill. You don't speak for me, Bill. To Plain Kiffin, well, first of all, I'm a college, what was I that year? I was a college senior that year. And so I wasn't where Bobby P or Herbs was in life, and I wasn't married. So not the same thing. No. Not quite. But yes, you are correct in that I watched a whole lot of really bad football. I can say that that experience did not mold my future PhD in this. And back then, I was finishing an organic chemistry. I don't even remember the degree. But it was a chemistry degree. And wasn't even thinking about doing this. That's the other irony of that. I don't know, maybe watching all that bad football pushed me into this. Like, I gotta get on the airwaves and fix all this. Maybe that was it. All right, we're coming right back. By the way, market-wise, this could be a crater day. We've been talking about this. SPY way down in the free market. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Interstate traffic still holding up right now on 65, making your way down through Robertson County. Still trying to finish a wreck in Williamson County right now. It's 840 eastbound at I-65. There's some slick spots out here. Give yourself plenty of extra time and slow it down. PensacolaBeach.com is everything you need to plan out your next getaway. Log on to PensacolaBeach.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Finding the right person for the job isn't easy. Just ask someone who hired a lounge singer to be their office receptionist.
Hello, this is Mickey Marquis, and you've reached the office of Duggan Associates. Thank you very much. Catch me Tuesday nights at the Hotel Johnson. Hello?
But if you've got an insurance question, you can always count on your local GEICO agent. They can bundle your policies, which could save you hundreds.
Duggan Associates, this is Mickey Marquis. Hello?
For expert help with all your insurance needs, visit geico.com/local today.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been helping our best friends in their worst times, during hurricanes, tornadoes, and increasingly, wildfires. They're real heroes to these animals. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger that animals face. Sometimes it's human nature that's the greatest threat. Each year, more than 6 million beautiful adoptable animals are being abandoned, and more than 1 million are euthanized before they can be rescued. These animals need heroes too. Heroes to open up their hearts and homes and to give them the love they deserve. Be a hero to an animal in need. Consider becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer or adopt from your local shelter. Visit AmericanHumane.org to find out how you can be a hero and help our best friends in their worst times.
Hello, this is Greg Pogue. The first time I met Tim Leeper, owner of Tim Leeper Roofing, I didn't know I needed a roof on my home, but I recalled meeting Tim as a huge supporter of Hope Hines' annual charity golf tournament, and upon further research at timleeperroofing.com, that his long-based Mid-State company was a former recipient of Roofing Contractor of the Year in Tennessee. Now in these trying times, we all should seek a comfort level personally and professionally. So if you have roofing issues, either residential or commercial, I recommend Tim Leeper Roofing. Please give them a visit at Tim Leeper Roofing.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and we've got the details from the Chili Bowl Nationals from this past weekend, testing from Daytona last week, as well as stuff going on at the LA Coliseum. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is William Byron. You're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday, right here.
Do you like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with @BillIsKing on Twitter or 615-844-5600.
Do I like tackle football so much, considering that I witnessed various Vanderbilt games in 1983? Actually, I was going to Vanderbilt games in the 70s. One of my buddies' dad was the dean of the law school there. His name was Dent Bostic, the dean of the law school. And his son went to school with me, the same school I went to, Battleground Academy. Anyways, we would hang out and, you know, 12, 13, they'd go to the Vanderbilt games and I'd be with them. And I was there the day that Frank Mordecai ran for, what was it, 1 million yards against, was it Air Force? That was 74, somewhere. Don't look it up. It's not important. But no, I've seen a whole lot of really gross Vanderbilt football growing up. So how that molded me into where we are today, I don't know. It should have ruined me. Yeah, it should have absolutely ruined me, but it didn't. I persevered through all the muck and all the bad football to where we are today. It's a remarkable story, y'all. Needs to be a book about it. It's 21 here in the, but outside of the Wilco kiosk location of this radio show. Alan says, Bill, we turned on the heater down in Tampa for the first time. It's 40 down there where he's at. That's chilly. For them, that might as well be Coffee Pot Mountain, Alaska, where it's minus 67 many mornings. That's what that feels like in Tampa for Allen. Just business down in Hoover, Alabama, the Birmingham area. Hoover, beautiful area. Says it's 27 here, Bill. We've got frost on the ground. Yeah, just business lives right there. A- Alan says, it's the first time we've had the heater on since last year when my brother said Oxford is supposed to get snow. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. So chilly down there. I tell you, I love the warm weather, and I know all the people in Florida, particularly when you get down central Florida and then down south Florida, you're not used to much cold weather. But I do like the change in the seasons. I guess just me. Now, I really, once we get on into the spring and it starts getting a little bit warmer here, because, again, this snow stuff you're hearing us talk about, that is not typical for us. We tease about this snow. We don't get much, ever. Usually, we get some forecasts for possibilities, and we never get it. This time, last couple of times, we actually got it. They're talking about a possibility on Wednesday, too. I don't think anything like what we've seen, but because the high is 54 tomorrow, which is not conducive, obviously. But we don't get it all that much. Georgia Dog down on the Emerald Coast. Bill, it's 28 down on the Ponderosa where he is at. 28, wow. John down in Alabama. Bill, I was at the Alabama-Vanderbilt game in 79. And he, by the way, wasn't that the game where Alabama beat Vanderbilt 63-3 or something? It was either 78 or 79. It was. Now, you got to remember, Alabama, everybody was winning back-to-back natties in 78 and 79. But, and I was not at that game. Let me look at this real quick. Since we got a little time. We got a little time to kill here. Somebody pulled up the schedule. No, I actually did. Coach's Hot Seat actually had the 84 schedule, and that's when Kurt Page and Vanderbilt beat Ray Perkins at Bryant-Denny. And that Vanderbilt team actually started off 4-0 and ranked in the top 20, I think ranked number 19. And I remember being at a place, a gym, working out, and the Vanderbilt fans were in there talking about this is probably a top 10 team. And then Vanderbilt tanked. They lost to Tulane. Then they went down to LSU and lost. Then they lost to Georgia. And they proceeded to lose after going 4-0 in 84, being ranked 19th. They proceeded to lose six of the next seven games. The only game they won in there was the Ole Miss game. And I'm looking at the reason why I know, I'm looking at the schedule here. Because Coach's Hot Seat pulled it up. But, yeah, he's right. In 84, they went to Bryant-Denny. I'm positive. That's the last time. 1984 is the last time that Vanderbilt beat Alabama. Now, they don't play every year. That's not a permanent crossover game. Now, if the SEC moves the divisions around a little bit, Oklahoma and Texas comes into the league, right? And they, if they do keep the East-West format, Oklahoma and Texas would be in the West, and that means that some teams, Alabama, Auburn, would join the East. I mean, that's speculation. Don't jot that down on your tablet there. But that is part of the speculation of what might happen. Then, well, but it still wouldn't be permanent because we've got so many teams. But, yeah, they don't play every year. Tennessee and Alabama do play every year, and that's not good for Tennessee. I have told Tim, I get people fighting me back on this one. Tennessee should want to get rid of the permanent crossover game because of the Alabama problem that they've got. And I get Tennessee fans who fight me back on that. Just Tennessee fans, do me a favor. Take 1970... and research it from then to now, and you tell me why that game's good for you every year. You tell me what about that matchup is good for your program. 1970, modern history to now, about 50 years. You try and explain that to me. All right, we'll get one more break. Hour one, Gator Dave coming up, hour two.
Good morning. Interstate traffic still holding up right now on 65, making your way down through Robertson County. Still trying to finish a wreck in Williamson County right now. It's 840 eastbound at I-65. There's some slick spots out here. Give yourself plenty of extra time and slow it down. PensacolaBeach.com is everything you need to plan out your next getaway. Log on to PensacolaBeach.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSIN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now.
The NFL divisional playoffs are set for Saturday and Sunday. The Bengals at the Titans Saturday afternoon. Tennessee a 3.5-point favorite at home. Later, the Packers -5.5 at home against the 49ers. On Sunday, the Rams a 3-point road underdog at the Bucks, and the Chiefs -2.5 at home against the Bills. The UFC heavyweight title up for grabs Saturday in Anaheim at UFC 270. Francis Ngannou, the current champion, the +120 underdog against interim champion Ciryl Gane at -145. Also for the flyweight title, Brandon Moreno -185 against Davison Figueiredo at +150. For VSIN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of game day. And if you win, they even get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code WNSR so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook promo code WNSR.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, mostly sunny, high near 47. Partly cloudy tonight, low around 39. Tomorrow, showers likely, high near 53. Tomorrow night, rain and snow showers, low around 23. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone. Sports Radio WNSR.
The home of commitments and other stuff. The Bill King Show.
Sam Dog. Down in Perry, Georgia. Bill, what's the coldest game you've ever been to? He said, the Dogs had Ole Miss at home in 2000. It was 30 degrees in the sleet. Coldest I've ever been at a game. Musa Smith went over 100 yards, and we got a pick six also in that game. Musa Smith, wow. That's a name I haven't thought of in a while. Easy for me. Now, you got to remember, I'm in the South, so my coldest is not going to be compared to, let's say, Josh up in Seabus or somebody who was in the big house or somebody who was in Happy Valley or Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin in November or something. I'm not going to have one like that. But I do clearly have my coldest game ever. Now, this is a college game, right? Yeah, college game. That would be Virginia Tech Vanderbilt. At Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. I was doing the game on TV. And we were there at Lane Stadium. And we're up top in the press box. The glass window is open. They want it open so you can hear the crowd, and it is brutal. I don't remember the temperature. I just remember, and again, I'm not there as a fan. I am working the game. This is really early, maybe year one, Jerry DiNardo. This is probably 1990. Somebody can look it up. But it was Blacksburg, Virginia, and I just remember being totally frozen. The other one would be actually Nashville. Vanderbilt again. This is at Vanderbilt, the Vanderbilt, Tennessee game, 1992. I'm working that game on TV. That's when I thought I liked doing that stuff. I did not enjoy doing that. And I was that day the sideline dude. You know, they send it down to the sideline and you do whatever. And it started sleeting and snowing, not hard, but I'm down there just in an overcoat, getting pummeled. It's also a day where Jerry DiNardo was mad because of something some guy on a radio station, FM morning jock, said about him. And he was mad at the media. And Johnny Majors, that's the same day Johnny Majors snipped at me because of the questions I asked him at halftime. You've heard that story. I won't repeat it. Same day. But I just remember after that game getting home. And at the time, Michelle and I had an apartment on West End, just down, heck, a couple of miles from Vanderbilt. And that's when we were first married. And I just remember getting back there and just trying to warm up. Just trying to get warm. So those are two. Clearly, I can remember those two. That's the coldest I have been. And again, I have not been to Madison, Wisconsin, or CBUS, or any of those places. I have not been to Rutgers, where Jim goes to games, or Army games in West Point late in the season, where Jim goes and probably has been a lot colder than me before. Jim in Ramsey, New Jersey, what's up?
Bill, it's a balmy 32 in the Garden.
Ah, that's you could take your shirt off in that, man.
Bill, I have been to games at Rutgers where it was like 21 degrees and the wind was blowing and it was snowing. And I've also been at West Point where it was 33 in a driving rain. I almost think that's worse.
I know. I like I said, my cold stories will not match you guys. There's no way.
I remember going, taking like a bunch of my son Jimmy's friends up to an Army game. And it was a Thursday night game against Iowa State, and it was so cold, Bill. Oh my God. And I went to a Rutgers Army game once at Mikey, where it was another rainy, cold, damp. You just couldn't get warm.
I bet. Yeah, I bet. I have.
Hey, Bill, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm heading south tomorrow, Bill. A little Naples, a little Jupiter, couple days down in the sunshine. But
is this, business or pleasure?
No, I'm going for fun. I'm going for fun.
Right. Good for you.
Phil, the airfares are so cheap again. I couldn't drive down Jersey Shore for what it's costing me to fly to Florida.
I hear you, man. Well, be safe, man. Be safe.
Hey, thanks. But I still think I'm going to be up on the Gulf Coast, Bill, because you get the change of seasons up
right
there. I'm going to be in, you know, Gulf Shores or Fort Walton Beach. In fact, I want to get Georgia Dog's number because I'm just starting to look at places down there now.
Our buddies on the Emerald Coast.
Get a lay of the land.
Yeah, our buddies on the Emerald Coast will take care of you there, man. I promise you.
That'd be awesome. But, you know, Bill, I'm looking. I think Rutgers is going in the right direction. We have some good developed players coming in on the transfer portal. And I think Shiano's doing the right thing.
Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one, Bill.
No cab up in Chicago. Bill, didn't you and Childers do the Big 12 championship game in Kansas City and it was snowing? It was in the teens there, but we were in a tent. So I didn't, I mean, when you walked out, you felt it. But where we were located, I wasn't having to brave the elements. So I'm not counting that one. Yes, it was one of those days where you could see your breath. It was so cold, but we didn't have to work out in it. Those other two, I had to work in. A little different. Brutal. That was my first experience with black eyes, too, in a rental car, which was very scary. All right, Gator Dave's coming. Omni Nashville Hotel.